Lord truly does, as Lisa testified, bless us with great fellowship. Isn't it true? And it is because of him. I know that's obvious, and it's also not obvious. I think we've actually grown to like each other, but the Lord surely enables us to, and his children, to fellowship one with another in a greater way than the world could possibly offer. And our lives here on earth are governed by the Lord and under his kingship, under his government and his peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And there are things that just, how can these things be? Just as Mary said, but yet he accomplishes it. And it's done according to the purpose of the Godhead. Lord, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful for this season when we contemplate your coming, your becoming a man, coming to earth, and Lord, all of the wondrous things that you have done, all of the prophecies that you have brought together, all of those things that have been summed up in you. And Lord, we want to celebrate you each and every time we gather. And Lord, I ask that you help us to celebrate you and to hear your word and to be touched by the Holy Spirit through your word. And in your precious name, Lord, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Last week I spoke on the shepherd and the sheep in Psalm 23 and in John 10. And the thing that had arrested me in regard to that, the whole topic of the shepherd and the sheep, is that the Lord has taken responsibility. In Psalm 23, very clearly says, David clearly says, he, meaning God, meaning the good shepherd, Jesus, restores my soul. And the world wants everything to be done and in order and the way it's judged to be right, which isn't right. But in any event, you know, we want something to happen. We want it to happen and it's taken care of. And they lived happily ever after. And that is not the way it is with us. And it is not the way it is with the Lord. Yes, it is that way with the Lord. We will live happily ever after. We are living happily ever after. But it's not as the world would pervert the activities of God. And so I spoke about from a need in my own heart that my soul needs to be restored. And I know all of you have that in your heart. Our soul is not what it was intended to be. It has been perverted by the fall. It is perverted by sin. And the Lord has taken charge. He has taken the responsibility. He has made the way that we can be holy. We can be before him. We can come into his presence. We can be seated in heavenly places because of his sacrifice, because of his loving kindness toward us that fulfills all of the requirements of God. Because we are in a fallen place, we are going to do fallen things. And yet, He has made it so that we do not have to pay the penalty of those of that fall. And so I spoke about the shepherd and the sheep, and I was particularly interested in trying to convey that the shepherd in John 10, the shepherd is the one who, he clearly says, as the shepherd, I lead my sheep out. And they come in and go out of the sheepfold. They go out and find pasture. They go out and they are fed. They are taken care of. They come back. They are protected. They are safe. That's the good shepherd. In Psalm 23, it's really the sheep looking at the shepherd saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, declared the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the good shepherd in John 10. He is the one who leads us beside quiet waters. He is the one who leads us in green pastures. He is the one who brings us to eat the things that the spiritual food that we need to be able to live and grow be about his purpose, be about his will. And not only does he feed us, but he leads us. It says that he leads us in paths of righteousness. David saw this, David recognized this, and David knew the Lord Jesus. He knew in his heart, he knew God. He knew God was his Savior. He knew he couldn't do it. And so we need to be restored. We need, our soul needs to be restored. And in John 10, the Lord says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, have it in abundance. This spiritual life that he offers, he doesn't give it to us in a teaspoonful or an eyedropper full at a time. He's not like feeding a little bird, you know, that fell out of the nest with, or a kitten that who's lost its mother. He's not just giving us a drip. He wants us to have the whole ocean. He wants us to have all that there is of him. And so as I considered this and thought about what the Lord does for us, I came to, was put in remembrance of a conversation that the brothers had on a Tuesday night about 3 weeks ago. We talked about the verses in First, this wasn't the only thing, but this is a good reference to what we were talking about, and it's about what we eat. How we are to grow. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know you're familiar with this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men. He's admonishing the Corinthians. The Corinthians are believers. They know the Savior. But he says, I could not speak to you as spiritual men because... But as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? I'm going to come back to that, but... What is important here is he is restored. Paul saw, he knew what the Corinthians needed because he saw it clearly in the Lord Jesus. And his heart was that he would help, through the Holy Spirit, the Lord's desire for the Corinthians to have life and have it abundantly would be fulfilled. He wanted that to be fulfilled. That was his loving heart towards them and towards the Lord Jesus. And the power that the Holy Spirit gives to feed them. And he was admonishing them because they had not moved on. They were still needing milk. They were still, and we see that in the church all around us. We see it, there are churches that are famous for always, the only thing you ever hear is an evangelical message. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with the gospel's a marvelous thing. We want people to be saved. But the fact is that because we are saved, we are now free and able to be what the Lord intended from the beginning. He didn't intend for Adam and Eve to drink milk. He intended them to eat of every tree in the garden and to be full and to be able to walk with him and communicate with him and with one another. That's what he desired, and but he couldn't let things go on in sin. We know that. And I don't want to wander afield from this. We are aware that we struggle, and we all struggle, and it's not a struggle. You're not cast out. The Corinthians were not cast out because they were still babes. Paul said, you should have done this. Sorry, you're fired. I'm going to go on with somebody else. No, that's not the way the Lord is. The Lord's desire is that we would drink the milk, that we would, our spiritual being would be able to move on to solid food, just like these sheep. The sheep in Psalm 23 and John 10, that's where they started, right? The little lamb is born and drinks mother's milk. And as they grow and become strong enough, they're being led by the shepherd. They're being led from place to place to find the food that they need. And it isn't by happenstance. It doesn't just, they just aren't turned loose to wander about and say, I hope you, see you kids, I hope you, come back full. No, he goes with them. He leads them to the place that he wants them to be. And so just like that, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to them. He's written this letter because he's concerned. And he wants them to eat he wants them to have the food that they need for their spiritual growth. So it goes on, what I want us to, I'm not telling you anything that you don't really know, but my desire is to bring attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus is moving. He is with us. He is among us. He is speaking to us. And it doesn't all come, from here between, 11 and 12 Sunday morning. Our brother Paul, who isn't with us today, so I can talk about him. He enjoys podcasts. And so when he's driving back and forth to work, he listens to them. I hate them. I don't want to do that. But the Lord hasn't brought me to that place. That's what Paul is fed by that. That's good. That's good. It's not necessary. And, we have brothers like Ed that teach the word and the conference. I encourage if you follow where the Lord leads you, and he will feed you. He will give you the meat. He will give you the vegetables. He will give you all that you need. And through that following of him, through that seeing of him, we will be transformed. What is in Romans 12? That you would be transformed. We are being transformed. Our soul, and this is something else kind of going afield here, but in Galatians it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And You know, every one of those things is a solical matter. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, lust, lying, coveting. All those are matters of the soul. The works of the flesh are what we start with. That's where we are. We're stuck in that until the Lord Jesus comes into our life and we are cleansed. And as we go along, the fruit comes forth. I mean, that's the picture of abiding in John 15. That the life of the Lord is flowing up from the root through the vine, having all things prepared by the husbandman, the Father, through the Lord Jesus, the vine, into the branches, and fruit comes forth. That fruit is that what God wants us to be. He wants us to be bearers of fruit. He wants us to carry. You know, when Jim goes and gives out the word, when you Hope and Carol went out and gave those stockings, you know, God went with them. His light is shining through them. Not because of anything they've done, but because of what he's done. He has prepared it. He has done it. And unfortunately, we get twisted up in some of those things occasionally. But the fact is, he is doing it. It is his work, and he wants it to be accomplished. And so the Apostle Paul confirms it here in 1 Corinthians. He confirms it for them. He says, you know, are you not still, I already read this, but for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? We do get twisted around. You know, sometimes we look at one another and we get jealous or we think, well, you know, why aren't I like that? You know, why don't I get those opportunities? You know, that Hope, she's out there. She's always pushing, doing something, right? Maybe I should be like that.
Oh, no.
You know? No, God hasn't made me like that. But he has made her like that. You know? Okay. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, and another says, I am of Ed Miller, and I am of Stephen Kong, or I am of Charles Baker, you know, are you not walking like mere men? What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. He's very clear here what is happening. I planted, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Right?
Right.
You know, Brother Charles, Brother Ed, Carol, Hope, you know, we are just servants. We are blessed servants.
Yeah, that's right.
We are mightily blessed, but what the Lord does through us is what the Lord does, not what we do. We get to participate. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean, what a blessing. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, verse 7, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth.
Yeah, sure.
Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So we are ministering, all of us within the church are ministering one to another in God's building, God's field. We are causing the growth that he desires. And there's a lot more here. Goes on to talk about the kinds of things that we do, and sometimes they're mixed, and some of those things will burn, and some of them are gold, silver, and precious stones. The gold, silver, and precious stones come from him. The same works that are burned up, you know, we are blessed because he burns them up. Because we do make mistakes, and we do get zealous. We do chase after things that we shouldn't. But he is able to bring it all together, to take even the most confused servant and to make into a lamp, a light of God. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we are thankful that you love us. We are thankful that it is you who have taken responsibility for restoring our souls and to making us into vessels of use in your house, in your kingdom. Lord, as our brother Ed shared about the potter, you know, the potter has the right to make a vessel for common use or for special things. Lord, things that are wonderful, things that seem just everyday. Lord, your everyday is forever. We have every day with you forever. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. What a vision. Lord, help us to have you and your heart for us in our eye and in our mind as we go about everything that happens. Lord, as we gather together, as we go apart, as we share this holiday, as we overeat, as all of these things, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, to cause us to dwell upon you in every day and all at all times. And when we don't, help us. In your precious name, Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
Amen.